Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And for this, they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And so the scoffer has got his opinion that everything is just going to continue as it was. But we that believe know that there is going to be a divine interruption, that Christ is going to descend with a shout, praise God, and we are going to go up with a shout. So the debate between the agnostic and the believer is that things are just going to get worse and worse. But in the day of Elijah, he stood up and said, tomorrow about this time, things are going to change. And the skeptic and the scoffer said, oh, that would be if God opened up the window of heaven. That's exactly what we believe. We believe that God is going to open up the windows of heaven. And so I declare that it's a time of overflow to those that will trust and obey God. For every Egypt, God has a Goshen. And that's always been God's plan. Stand with me, if you would, one more time, and let me read you a couple of verses from Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. You may be seated. He continues, I will restore to you the years. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in exciting times. What I have read to you are the greatest promises in the Bible as regard to dispensational and future blessing. That is why Peter quoted this very same text in the second chapter of the book of Acts on the birthday of the church. He wanted to make us realize that this was not for a former generation, but it was for us. And so I want to tell you that God has got a plan, and God is working his plan. As I was studying the scripture this week, I noticed that Jesus sent them out to get people to come to the supper, and the people would not come to the supper. Jesus didn't change the supper. He didn't change the word. He didn't change the message. He changed the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, God is going to have a church, and he will have a church. It will be whosoever will. God's not going to change his plan. He's just going to change his audience. I'm a part of God's plan because I choose to be a part of God's plan. I believe God's word above every professor. I believe God's word above every scientist. I believe God's word above every preacher. God's word is true. I am a subscriber to the promises of God. I believe they are yea and amen. You know, the Bible has two different ways of speaking about his objects of love in the Old Testament. You hear him talk about Zion and you talk about Israel. People make the mistake of thinking these are synonymous. That is a synonym to say Zion or Israel. They are simply not. Israel is masculine in the Hebrew, and Zion is feminine in the Hebrew. He's talking about two different things. The difference between the two is more visible in the Hebrew. It distinguishes the masculine and the feminine in the verbs as well as in the adjectives. Neglect of this gender distinction causes people to make tremendous mistakes about what God is saying. When God talks about Israel, he's talking about the nation. But when he's talking about Zion, he's talking about the saved people within the nation of Israel. He's talking about the Old Testament church. God refers to the nation. Zion refers to the followers of God in Israel, or as we would say, the church within the nation of Israel. Israel is grammatically male. Zion is grammatically female. The nation is always male. The church is always female in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament as in the bride of Christ. This is important, as we will see in a moment, to identify the target audience of Joel's prophecy. The exceeding great and precious promises of God can only have three possible audiences. Zion, the Jewish church, the completed church, which would be Zion and the Gentile church, and the individuals within the completed church. Let me repeat myself. These are the greatest promises in the Bible that Joel gives us in regards to dispensational future blessing about what God is going to do. In the book of Peter, it calls it exceeding great and precious promises. The word precious in the Bible is always used as a word of segregation. When it says precious, it's going to segregate something. It's going to separate something. It's precious stones. That means stones that have value as compared to gravel. Precious stones. Precious blood. That means sinless blood as compared to sinful blood. Christ's sinful blood is precious blood. When it talks about precious seed, it's talking about the Word of God as precious seed. It is precious. It has tremendous value. It talks about a precious people. Anytime it talks about precious, it's segregated. It's set it apart. And when you're called a precious people, that means you're set apart from your unsaved neighbor, from those that do not follow Christ. And because of that, that puts you in place as a recipient of these exceeding precious promises that Joel gives us. Here, precious promises, exceedingly valuable promises that Joel gives us. Before we get into the promises, let's define the who, the when, and the where. The who is easily definable with the help of the prophet Joel and the apostle Peter. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, Joel said. He defines who the people are. Not all of Israel, just the people of Zion. The believers that followed Jehovah in Israel are Zion. That's what Joel said. Now, the apostle Peter, he defines it as, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, which means Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, yourself, save yourself from this untoward generation. What are you saying? I'm saying these are the best of times and these are the worst of times. For those that do not know Christ, it will prove to be the worst of times. But for Zion, for those that are not just those that say, I'm a believer and not change their life, but those that are true believers. Jesus said, if you believe me, you will keep my commandments. We are those people for which these wonderful promises that Joel and Peter reiterated that will come to us in the last days. Joel speaks in past tense. He hath given you the former rain moderately, and then he shifts into the future tense. He simply says, this will come to pass. It's not already done. It's still going to come to pass. Joel calls it those days. Peter calls it the last days. But both use the phrase, I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth and the blood and the fire and the pillars of smoke. When is that going to happen? In the end time. So what does that tell us? That tells us the end time is going to be the worst of days for the unbeliever. But the end time is going to be the best of time for the believer. The unbeliever is going to be in a precarious place. But during that time of blood and fire and pillars of smoke, God said, I'm going to cause to come down for you the rain. And rain always symbolizes blessing in the Bible. And so God said, while they are experiencing all of this drama, and all of this pain and this affliction, he said, in the meanwhile, I am going to be raining down on my people. Not just rain in the past, but every blessing you can find in the history of God with man, God said, I'm going to give that blessing, and then I'm going to invent new blessing, and then I'm going to put them together, and I'm going to call them former rain and latter rain. And he said, the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the precipice of living in the time of overflow. And God said in that day, I will restore what the palmer worm has eaten away. It's going to be a time of tremendous, tremendous restoration. He talks about rain without restraint, a type of blessing, a pouring out, a restoring. He defines it as future and as those days. The promise in the book of Joel is one of the few places in the Bible that the word overflow is used in a positive light. Generally, when the word overflow is used in the Bible, it was in a negative light. For instance, in Isaiah 28:15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement, when the overflowing scourge, overflow was almost always bad. When it was overflowing, it was overflowing their crops. When they were about to overflow them, that when they were about to harvest them, there would be a flood come and it would overflow them and they would lose their crops. But God turned that word around, overflow. And he said, what was evil for the world is going to be a blessing for Zion or a blessing for the church. Joel tells us we shall overflow with blessing. The floor shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that I have just begun to live in the land of overflow. It's a wonderful place to live. It's more than enough. It's more than you need. It's enough that you can start to give it out. You can share it with other people, praise God. It's a time when God begins to say, pour the vessel out and it will not end. Borrow the vessels and borrow not a few. I'm going to overflow you so much, praise God. And when it talks about the full of wheat and the vats of oil, wine and oil, outward and inward. The wine represents the outward physical blessing. That's your car. That's your clothes. That's your house. But the oil represents your inward spiritual anointing, that you're going to have an anointing on you. You're going to be able to preach the gospel from your workplace, that you're going to be able to lay hands on the sick at your workplace. This is what he's talking about, the overflow. Church is going to be out of church. It's not going to be church 7 days a week. It's going to be church 24 hours a day. Wherever you are, you're going to be Zion. You're going to be blessed coming in and going out. You're going to find that you have a voice of prophetic utterance, that when you speak something, it comes to pass, that you can take the word of God and quell a storm that's going on in your family or in your life or on your work. Praise God. It's a time of excess of blessing. The Bible tells us that. He tells us in that last day. He talks about, again, he talks about in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, he talks about the refiner's fire. And then all of a sudden in that very same chapter, he drops down and said, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Where does your overflow happen? The Bible said in the book of Psalm, the famous 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. Where is your overflow going to happen? In the presence of your enemies. Well, that enemy is sickness or death or sin or people or demons. That's where you're going to experience your greatest overflow. What are the greatest opportunity for overflow in the life of the believer? When sin abounds. Have you ever seen a more sinful society than we exist in now? Somebody said, it's just so bad. I want to give up, but not me. I want to read the Word of God and find out how all of this sin applies to me. And he said, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Where are you going to overflow? You are all going to overflow when sin abounds. Not only that, when are you going to overflow? When the enemy comes in like a flood. He said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and its glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. In other words, you are going to overflow when the enemy comes in like a flood. When should I overflow? When I am specifically targeted by the devil with evil. For as much as you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. When the devil says you are my target today, that is a real sign. That's going to be the day of my overflow. When your rightful blessing is stolen, that's when you're supposed to overflow. But if he be found, he shall restore the thief sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. That's when you're supposed to overflow. You say, somebody stole something from me. Friend, you need to rejoice because that means that you are going to have a sevenfold overflow in your life. When your enemy rises up against you, you ought to celebrate and rejoice because it means it is the letting loose of your overflow. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way, but flee before thee seven ways. That's overflow. My cup overrunneth simply is a quotation from the Hebrew Bible that means I have more than enough for my own personal needs. God is promising to the church, to Zion in the year 2022, if we will believe God and obey Him, if we will not wring our hands and be fraught with fear because of what's going on, we'll say, I know this, the Lord is still in control. This is still His footstool, and heaven is still His throne, and we are still His people. And what the devil means for evil means absolutely nothing, because God is a God of overflow. That's what Jesus' promise is when He said in John chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's He talking about? He's talking about overflow. More than you can possibly contain. We're not talking about a God that has run out of ability to produce. We're talking about men that have lost the ability to have capacity. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time to enlarge your field. It's time to enlarge your capacity. It's time to enlarge your faith. For this is God's day to show Himself strong. There has never been a day in the history of mankind where God has a greater appetite to show Himself strong. God is seeking, God is searching, God is beseeching for people that will believe Him, because God said, I got it and I ain't got no place to put it. I'm going to have to overflow some people. There's some people that just don't want their blessing. I said, God, dump it on me. And God said, well, you're already full. He said, I'll just overflow you. That's what God is saying to His church. The Bible said in John 3:34, for he whom God has sent the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God is going to bless you without measure until it is more than you can see any way to use. You said, I'd like to get my family saved. I haven't been able to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will submit yourself to the Lord for overflow, the blessing of God will be so strong in your life that the devil will not be able to refute it. Your friends will not be able to gainsay it. They will say unquestionably, the hand of the Lord is on them. Don't look for the world to get better. The world is going to get worse. But ladies and gentlemen, look up, for it's coming down. The redemption of the Lord is yours. It's a day of overflow. God wants to overflow your joy. God wants to overflow your peace. God wants to overflow your authority. God wants to overflow your power. This is a day reserved unto the Lord. This is God's day, and He is about to show Himself strong. And God is looking for volunteers, people that say, here I am, God, use me. I'm not afraid. I have got more faith than I've ever had. I've got more strength than I've ever had. I've got more expectancy than I've ever had. God, give me all I can handle. And when I can't handle anymore, just overflow me so my spouse can get some, and my kids can get some, and my family can get some, and my friends can get some, and my neighbors can get some. Oh, Lord, even overflow my cup in the presence of my enemies, that they might know that my God is a real God and a living God and a powerful God and a benevolent God and a rich God and a generous God. That God is in this building today. It's not that you've asked for too much and offended God. You haven't asked for enough. You need to stand up high and say, God, I want everything you got. I want more in my life. I want more spirit, more peace, more love, more joy, more money, more blessing, more things. I just want to be a walking advertisement to what God can do in the 21st century. And ladies and gentlemen, I am volunteering. Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. The time of adversity is the greatest opportunity for overflow in your life. When the devil comes in like a flood, that ought to be the moment of your best song. It ought to be the moment of your highest praise. When the devil attacks with all of his strength, that ought to be the display of your greatest faith. When the devil comes in against you, I have pastored some wonderful people in my life, and I have pastored tithers that have lost everything, and some of them succumbed to that attack. But I have pastored some people, when the devil came against their finance, they started giving 20% instead of 10%, and God turned it around. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that the devil is targeting you. But when the devil targets you, it's the time for God's overflow. Praise like you've never praised. Pray like you've never prayed. Worship like you've never worshiped. Come to God's house like you've never come to God's house. Share your testimony like you've never shared your testimony. Give like you've never given. Shout like you've never shouted. Sing like you've never sung. Dance like you've never danced. Ladies and gentlemen, God is waiting to pour out an overflow in your life. Lift your hands and give God praise now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oromoko sotoloba kasataboria. I saw a testimony from one of my pastor friends today, this morning, when I woke up and looked at Facebook, and he said, he's 72 years of age. He said, never did I think I could be this happy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that God wants to bless you beyond your expectation. He wants to bless you above your thoughts, above your imagination. God wants to use you as a walking signboard of what He is. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. And when things are going to hell in this world, God wants to pick you up and single you out. Tomorrow about this time, I want to demonstrate my power, God is saying. God said, I want you to be my living demonstration. If you're in this building right now and you want to volunteer for an overflow, I suggest you leave your pew and come to this altar and tell God, I don't care what happens. It's not going to stop my praise. It's not going to quieten my